Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. First off, let me apologize for the tardiness of this podcast being recorded Friday afternoon. I was away, returning on Thursday. And next week, the Midweek Reality Check will indeed revert back to the midweek. So I apologize, but hopefully this one will be well worth it, and I'm looking forward to giving it to you. It will be 100% proprietary, so sit back and enjoy. This podcast is going to be about the truth about the U.S. economy. It'll be about North Korea, the U.S. dollar, and debt. First off, one of the biggest leading economic indicators is the condition of the housing market. If you know the condition of the housing market, you can tell the direction of the U.S. economy. In August, existing home sales month over month change was minus 1.7%, and existing home sales year over year, unadjusted, were up just 0.2%. What we have is a weak economy that is barely growing. I've said this for many, many years, and over again, I get proven correct when the actual hard data comes out. Not surveys, not sentiment surveys, not manufacturing survey data, hard data. Purchase applications for home mortgages fell a seasonally adjusted 11% in the September 15th week, while refinancing applications fell 9%. Industrial production fell 0.9% and retail sales dropped 0.2% in August. Now, the pundits are blaming Hurricane Harvey. They blame the weather when things don't go their way. But the storm struck August 25th, which is very late in the month, and the hit took place in a very small part of the country. The storm accounts for some, I will admit, some of the weakness for August, but not the majority of the weakness, and certainly cannot account for the downward revision to June, which was formerly up 0.3%, and now it's down 0.1%. So the synchronized rebound and global growth mantra that you hear from the perma bulls doesn't stand up to the facts, which is all we're ever concerned about, facts. We've been in a 2% GDP growth economy since 2010, and there is no evidence that this is going to improve. Now, the Atlanta Fed model for Q3 GDP growth started out the quarter at 4% and has now crashed all the way down to just 2.2%. And the other model, the New York Fed's nowcast, has Q3 at just 1.8%. So where is the U.S. economy? Stuck at 2%. And that's only if you undercount inflation. Remember, if you count inflation in real terms, you're probably, accurately, you're probably only growing at 0.2%. With a deep recession coming down the road, and I have a lot more to say about that. Now, excuse me. Rumors of imminent nuclear war with North Korea actually now send the U.S. dollar down. As the rhetoric increases between Trump and Kim Jong-un, the dollar, which is formerly a repository of a safe haven play as the world's reserve currency, now very, very curiously sends the dollar down. I'll explain that. This is because the world's reserve currency is gradually losing its status due to major competitive nations trading commodities in foreign currencies. This is being led by China and Russia. There is a huge push in the East and in Europe to reduce holdings of dollar-based FX reserves. This is why Eurasia is working on a new monetary alternative. They find it imperative to remove their nations from U.S. political, military, and dollar hegemony. China is close to launching a crude oil futures contract denominated in yuan. The speed in which the U.S. dollar is losing its world reserve currency status is increasing. Let's talk about wars, both shooting and trade wars. The Donald threatened to, and I quote, totally destroy the nation of North Korea during a speech at the United Nations General Assembly earlier this week. I have never before heard a president of any nation use the term totally destroy it at the United Nations. And certainly no U.S. president has ever threatened to wipe out a nation. There has been a dramatic increase in the war drum beating between the two leaders. Now, Kim Jong-un threatens to actually test a hydrogen bomb above ground. And Trump promises to wipe out his country. Now, the following is a typical investment approach from Wall Street given that current scenario. Now, David Kotok of Cumberland Advisors stated on Bloomberg TV today, Friday, that his shop is, quote, all invested, unquote, and would only begin selling if a shooting war begins. I know, Mr. Kotok. I respect Mr. Kotok from my days on CNBC's The Cuddler Report. But to believe that you can actually hedge your portfolio's positions after the missiles start flying is both extremely foolish and dangerous. There will be no bids, and you must have cash already set aside and ready to pick up bargains at extreme discounts if you want to survive and thrive during such events. What has gone underreported is Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin's speech around that same time as Trump's, putting foreign financial institutions on notice that they can now either do business with the United States or North Korea, but not both. This is as strong as sanctions can get and the final step before a military conflict. It's almost tantamount to what the U.S. did prior to World War II to Japan. Please remember that the U.S. had an oil embargo against Japan. They put it in place July 1941, and that helped precipitate the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the spreading of World War II to Japan. The kind of sanctions against Kim Jong-un are similar in effect with what Japan suffered with its oil embargo and could produce the same baneful reaction. There is now not only a credible threat of nuclear war with North Korea, but a guaranteed trade war with China and Russia. What would a significant reduction in trade with China and Russia yield? The most likely outcomes would be shortages and or inflation here in the United States. But there would also most certainly be a rise in treasury yields. There's a very dangerous recipe developing with treasury yields, and one of the reasons why we're short here at Pentaport. This is because China is a huge buyer of U.S. debt. As the trade surplus nation, $347 billion worth last year, recycles most of its dollars into government securities. This means we will have the two biggest buyers of our debt, China and the Fed, not only out of the bond buying business, but becoming direct sellers. Yes, China could directly sell our treasuries, can and should. But also, there is no, I remind my listeners, there is no gradual roll off of debt from the Fed's balance sheet. The Treasury must sell new securities to pay back the Fed once those securities mature. So it's the same as selling. It's just semantics. What does all this mean? The biggest and most dangerous bubble in history, which is global sovereign debt, is about to collapse. And it will occur with stock valuations at or near record highs. According to monthly data from the Nobel Prize economist Robert Shiller, the S&P 500 P ratio rose from a low of 7 during the 1981-82 recession to a high of 18 right before the 87 crash. The Shiller PE is now 30. At this level, the PE is just below the peak of 32 seen before the crash of 29. And a bit below, a little bit more than a bit, 40, the 44 seen just before the dot-com bust of 2000. But the P/E ratio isn't the best metric because debt-fueled buybacks have artificially boosted the earnings per share. So companies raise debt, buy back shares, takes out the number of shares, so earnings per share look better. And if earnings per share look better, then the P/E ratio gets looks lower. The metrics of price to sales and total market cap to GDP scream fire in a very crowded theater. Now, with the crash of 1987, which saw the Dow drop 23% in just one day, and 2017 have most in common is rising interest rates. That's what really precipitated the 87 crash was a rise. It was a rise in interest rates. But the rise in inflation was caused by a dollar that was dropping because of the Plaza Accord that was signed in 84. And rising inflation caused the stock market to collapse. Today, it's the reserve, not really so much of inflation, is the reversal of global central banks QE. The weak, you know, the global central banks have printed $2 trillion so far this year in confetti. That has caused the stock market to levitate, global stock market to levitate. That's coming to an end. That's the most important point that I'm trying to get through to my audience. The weakening U.S. dollar is also something the two crashes, one still ahead of us, have in common. The crash of 2017/18 and the crash of 1987 and the crash of 1929. A weakening U.S. dollar. The selling of bonds by foreign governments also necessitates the selling of dollars. Soaring debt and deficits due to demographics and tax cuts is going to slam into the central banks and foreign government selling of treasuries. It is a deadly, deadly, pernicious cocktail. That is why it has become so crucial to carefully make money in a hedge strategy and not go all in long positions like the rest of Wall Street. Yeah, our portfolio up modestly this year, up modestly last year, but it's done in a very strategic and careful way. A model portfolio is designed to make money carefully and cautiously with virtual a virtual hedge over such a nuclear war or a collapse in the stock market. A hedge of protection over it. Now, the Fed went on record this Wednesday saying that quantitative tightening will begin in October and it will be on autopilot unless and until the market and economy crashes. Well, that's not news. That's what the Fed always does. The Fed never tries to crash the economy or stock market, but that's what they always do because they're a bunch of dolts and morons. We're just tightening. We're just removing accommodation. We're not tightening. No, you've been tightening since 2000. Since you started tapering in 2013. And now yields are rising and financial conditions are tightening, but they're tightening into an economy that's, as I said, 2% and weakening. Not only this, the Fed is not only engaged in reverse QE. There, it actually went on record saying that there will be four more rate hikes between now and the end of 2018. And the ECB, the European Central Bank, is almost guaranteed to announce its own taper in October as well. Now, the reversal of trillions of dollars of central bank liquidity is going into reverse in the coming quarters. The reversal of quantitative easings. $2 trillion so far this year. It's headed into reverse. And the fuse will be lit next month, for the collapse of bond prices and global markets concurrently. I say next month, the fuse will be lit. Let me clarify. So in October, we're going to have the beginning of the Fed's reduction in its balance sheet, along with the tapering of bond purchases from the ECB. That's the fuse that will start yields rising inexorably maybe even quickly, until this whole thing collapses. PPS, Penta Portfolio Strategies, holds select gold investments, aerospace and defense stocks, international dividend equities. I'm short the bond market, and I have plenty of cash available to profit from the volatility. If you are with PPS, please rest in the knowledge that we are fully prepared to actively navigate through the coming chaos that will bring along with it enormous opportunities. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.